Prime Minister, President of the Assembly, parliamentarians, ladies and gentlemen, it's great to be here and to meet you once again. It's great to meet the NATO Parliamentary Assembly, and I have been a parliamentarian myself for many years, and I know how important parliamentarians are in our democratic societies, also when it comes to foreign and defense policy. You decide the guidelines, you decide the direction of the foreign and defense policy of each and every of our allied countries and partner countries. And no government, no minister can conduct foreign or defense policy without the support of the majority of the parliament. And I've seen some who have tried, and they didn't last for long when they tried to do it against the will of the parliament. So it's great to see the NATO Parliamentary Assembly again. It's also great, of course, to meet you here in Stavanger. And as you know, Stavanger is the hub or a key city when it comes to Norwegian oil and gas industry. And I've just seen some new statistics confirming once again that Norway is now actually exporting more gas to the European Union, to NATO allies in the European Union, than Russia. So this city is also important when it comes to energy security for the whole alliance for our European allied countries. It's also great to be here because Stavanger is the host city of the NATO Joint Warfare Center. And this Joint Warfare Center is yet another example of that Norway has been a committed and strong ally ever since the foundation of the alliance. And on behalf of NATO, I thank Norway for the great contributions you have provided over so many years. And there are many examples of that. One is the Norwegian presence in the High North. That is important for Norway, but it's also important for NATO. Because the High North is still characterized by low tensions, predictability, and a high degree of cooperation. But there are increasing concerns. We have seen increased Russian military presence up in the north, and that is exactly why it is so important that Norway increases and continues its presence in the high north. That provides NATO and NATO allies with a better situational awareness and with a predictable presence in the high north. This is important for Norway, but it's also of high importance for all NATO allies. Despite the fact that Norway has been and continues to be a committed and strong ally, Norway, after the end of the Cold War and in a reaction to more peaceful times, Norway, as many other NATO countries, decided to reduce defense spending. And I remember very well, because I was a Minister of Finance at that time, and I was strongly pushing for reduced defense spending. Now, the world has changed once again, and in recent years, Norway and a growing number of NATO allies have started to increase their defense spending. Once there was a time to collect the peace dividend, but now is the time to invest in our defense. And I would like to commend the Norwegian government for increasing defense spending in the proposed budget for 2016. This is important for Norway, but again, it's important for the whole alliance, and it's a first important step towards fulfilling the commitment Norway and all other NATO allies made at the Wales summit last fall. This is important because over the last couple of years, we have seen dramatic changes the security environment surrounding us. From the annexation of Crimea to the collapse of the Arab Spring, our world has become less predictable and more dangerous. As demonstrated by the tragic attacks this weekend in Ankara, I offer my sincere condolences to those affected. We are also concerned about Russia's actions in Ukraine and most recently in the Middle East, about its unacceptable violation of Turkish and NATO airspace, and about Russia's substantial military buildup, its air strikes, and its cruise missile attacks. Many countries from the region and every NATO ally is taking part in the US-led mission against ISIL. Russia should play a constructive role in the fight against ISIL. To support the Assad regime is not constructive. This is only prolonging the war in Syria. A political solution to the conflict in Syria is needed more than ever. And I fully support and encourage all efforts by the UN and others to find a negotiated settlement to the conflict in Syria. And I understand that for many people it can sound a bit difficult, unrealistic to foresee how we can reach a political solution to the war and the fighting in Syria. On the other hand, there is no alternative. Sooner or later, there has to be a negotiated political solution, and therefore we encourage and support all the efforts by UN to find such a political solution. This is important, of course, for the people living in Syria, but there is a direct link between the crisis, the fighting in Syria, and the migrant and refugee crisis we see in Europe. We also need a negotiated and peaceful solution to the conflict in Ukraine. And actually, I'm encouraged that the ceasefire in eastern Ukraine is largely holding, that heavy weapons are being removed, and that the announced elections outside the framework of Ukrainian law have been postponed. But the situation in Ukraine remains fragile. Russia has a special responsibility as it continues to support the separatists in eastern Ukraine. The crisis in Syria and Ukraine underlined the importance of what NATO is doing, increasing our ability to protect our allies, to reinforce and to deploy. And during the last year, we have done a lot. We have doubled the size to 40,000 troops, the size of the NATO response force, making it more ready and more capable. We have established the High Readiness Joint Task Force, or the Spearhead Force, able to move within a matter of days. We have increased our presence in the east with more planes in the air, more ships at sea, and more boots on the ground. We have established 6 new headquarters in our eastern allies, with 2 more to come. And we will soon deploy new advanced surveillance drones in Sicily. They will increase our capability to gather intelligence and to obtain situational awareness wherever that is needed. And we have improved our decision-making and increased our exercises threefold, including our exercise Trident Juncture that is happening right now across Portugal, Spain, and Italy. Our largest exercise for more than a decade. So all of this is important, and it has been implemented during the last year. This is the greatest increase of our collective defense since the Cold War. And we are just as able to protect Turkey as we are to protect our eastern allies in the alliance. NATO deterrence is significant and it is real. If Turkey needs NATO's help, NATO will be there. The instability we see around us is part of our new strategic reality, and we have to be prepared for that it's going to be like this for the long term. So our alliance also have to adapt for the long term. I see three core issues as part of this adaptation, which I will briefly address, and then I will be able to go more into details during the questions afterwards. First, we must modernize our deterrence. Deterrence is often seen as some kind of old-fashioned Cold War concept. But being strong enough to stop others from attacking, is not old-fashioned. Being strong enough so that your people can go about their business without the fear of war is not old-fashioned. We have strong defenses, not because we want to fight a war, but because we want to prevent war. We face a wide and complex range of threats, traditional and asymmetric, from the east and from the south, even from cyberspace. If we are to respond to all of this, then we must modernize our deterrence with better intelligence and early warning, and better integration of land, sea, and air forces, and significantly better cyber defenses. A strong defense is also key to addressing the second challenge we face, our relationship with Russia. There is no contradiction between being strong and being engaged. On the contrary, I believe that the strong defense forms the basis for a constructive relationship with Russia. But there must be no doubt. Engagement is not the same as accepting a new status quo or giving Russia a free hand. As we approach our Warsaw summit, we will assess the long-term implications of the current crisis on our relations with Russia. Then the third challenge we face, and that is the South. We face turmoil and instability from Afghanistan through the Middle East and across North Africa. This is a huge and complex challenge, a challenge that demands a comprehensive response from the entire international community, primarily from the countries in the region, the ones on the front line of the fight against extremists, but also from international bodies like the UN and the European Union, from regional organizations like the African Union, and by allies who have much to contribute. Together, we need to address the security situation, the humanitarian and the refugee crisis, and the economic challenge. This is about political initiatives, negotiated peace solutions. It's about dealing with the migrant and refugee crisis. It's about climate change. It's about many different challenges we face at the same time. And the whole international community has to be part of the solution and the answer to this challenge. NATO has a role to play together with the rest of the international community. NATO must be ready and able to deploy forces when needed, as we have done in Afghanistan, the Balkans, off the Horn of Africa, in Libya, and other places before. But we also have to get better at projecting stability without necessarily deploying large number of combat forces. Call it resolute support, defense capacity building, or partnership. What matters is that we are able to help our neighbors to become more stable and secure. So what matters is that from Afghanistan to Morocco and many places in between, NATO is helping other countries to defend themselves and to stabilize their own neighborhoods. For if they are more stable, we are more secure. By building up the capacity of countries like Tunisia, Jordan, and Mauritania, helping others like Iraq and at some point Libya to strengthen their security. This is in our security interest that they are more able to defend and protect themselves. Our world is changing. NATO is changing, but what we have achieved so far is not enough. We need to do more. Our Warsaw Summit next year will demonstrate that NATO is ready to deal with the challenges of a modern and changed world, with a common understanding and a common position, and a common way forward. Thank you for your attention.